Welcome back to Supporting Both Ends of the Lead. I'm Caroline, a certified animal behaviourist.
And I'm Dr. Linda Blair, a clinical psychologist.
We're here to bring you today's double dose of well-being for you and your dog.
And it's time to get started, don't you think? Well, welcome back, everybody. We're getting a lot of light now. We're in the second half, well, approaching the second half of March. It's when you can begin to have hope, even about British weather. Your dog walks may not be a drench moment. So what we'd like to talk about today is something that's coming up in less than 2 weeks now, which is quite a stress, both for our dogs and for ourselves, more so than what happens equivalent in the autumn, and that is the time change. The time change in the autumn adds an hour to our day, and it puts us more in sync with being up in the light, in the sort of time when there's light. In the spring, it's rather forcing things. It's pushing you on to have less, you know, 23 hours that day, and also you're sort of running after the light. And some doctors say you never really totally adjust to this second one. I hope that's not true. But what I thought we'd do, what we thought we'd do, because it involves both you and your dog, is to talk about how you can, as a human, approach this and get through it with minimal stress, and what we can do for our dogs, because, you know, all mammals are circadian rhythm driven, and it's really important. Wouldn't you say, Caroline, that's important on all mammals?
Absolutely, and this definitely affects our dogs, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, I sort of feel maybe if I start with the humans, then you can fit in, given, if you believe my advice, Caroline, then and also our listeners, then how you would fit the dog into that too. Because, of course, if we're not calm and doing our best, then the dog will feel it instantly, I would have thought. I mean, that's your area, but I would have thought that you do need to prioritize yourself, recognizing that this is stressful. So what can you do? Well, I would start this coming Saturday. I know it's not the time change weekend, but I would still start then, because what you can do is make it possible to flow into Sunday week without feeling like someone's hit you on the back of the head when you try to get up an hour earlier than you're used to. It's very like they do, I understand, on ships that cross the Atlantic. They take away 1 hour each day. It's a 5-day crossing. So by the time you get to either New York or Portsmouth, you're adjusted already without even realizing it. That's a little different because, of course, on a ship, everybody's waiting on you. So that isn't going to happen, I'm afraid. I can't guarantee that here at home. But it does feel very seamless from what I understand. So what can we do to mimic that, given that we have lots of responsibilities and we can't just summarily change the clock a week early? The thing I suggest is that you start, as I said, starting the Saturday before, become aware of when you get up normally. And on Monday, on Saturday night and Sunday night, I want you to go to bed 15 minutes earlier than you normally would, roughly. On Monday and Tuesday, 15 minutes more. Another on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, you're already there, and it isn't even Saturday. You're already getting up an hour earlier. So it really will make a big difference if you do it in tiny little bites like that. And we start on the going to bed rather than the getting up, because if you feel pampered and treated that you got to bed early, it's ever so much earlier to get up early. And what you do when it says 6:45, but actually it's 6:30. What are you supposed to do with those extra 15 minutes? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to enjoy your breakfast, to be able to give your dog an extra brush, to take a little longer walk? It's certainly not going to be dead time. It'll be absolutely so wonderful. You may want to keep on going and have a little more morning time. I think I have recommended to our listeners, maybe not, the marvelous book called Morning by Alan Jenkins, where he celebrates getting up really early And it is a beautiful thing to do. But we're just working on an hour right now. So that's my suggestion. I have lots of other tips that I can give, but I think it's your turn. I'm talking too much. What about our dogs, Caroline?
Never talking too much. We always learn so much from you, Linda. I would echo exactly what you've said in terms of preparing your dogs for this change. Now, for me, I tend to find our dogs don't struggle with this change quite as much because you're getting up earlier. They're winning. Their breakfast is coming earlier to them. Oh. It's the dinner that night that they may struggle to wait for. But when the clocks fall back in the autumn, they find it hard to be waiting. And also our dogs tend to find it a little bit harder as the dusky nights come in because some dogs aren't kind of accustomed to walking in the darker nights, particularly if you've got a younger dog. So I think for me, I would be saying, again, start swapping your dog's meal times slightly now so that they're going to be in the place they are as the new week kind of and the new time descends on us. Because meal times are something for some dogs that can be so important and really provide them with predictability and reassurance in their day, and they know what's happening. You can, by all means, also swap out their bedtime a little bit. Well, they're going to follow your bedtime. But their walk times, adjust those slightly by 15 minutes if you'd like to, too, depending on how rigidly set your routine is with your dogs. For me, I prefer to have a bit more of a fluid routine. And some days we walk at different times to others. But not everybody has the luxury to be able to do that. So if your routine is slightly more rigid, then start to slowly change it over the next week. And that will really help your dog as the kind of the changes come.
That's lovely. And it feels like a flow. But what I'm fascinated by is that it's the opposite for the dogs. You know, autumn's easier than spring, whereas all the research that I know on humans says it's the other way around. That's really interesting.
Well, when we think about our dogs, they're crepuscular, so they're more active at dawn and dusk. So they're more likely to want to get up earlier than us. We're the ones who are wanting to pull up the duvet over our head.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're kind of ready and very, even if they are a dog who tends to get up very happily, have their breakfast, go out for a wee, and then go straight back to sleep, they're still happy for the day to have started a little earlier than we probably are.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, It sort of draws me back to not just the gentleness, but the attitude of kindness, you know, that this is a stress and you know, I'm going to respect that. We have to do that to ourselves, too. And I would say one of the things that's important is to make the getting up, that earlier getting up, a treat. So how would you do that? Well, one way is to eat your supper earlier. Isn't that funny? But you'll be hungrier. And so you'll get up and say, I'm going to have a really nice breakfast and I deserve it. It's been ages since I've eaten. So that's a really good thing. If it's real cold in your house, I don't know what your budget is, but you could either have the heating on earlier or you could have a little heater just by your bed that you could turn on for 5 minutes before you get out so that you don't get out. You think I'm pulling that duvet up because it's just so darn cold. So that's really important too. And I think for a little while, I don't know those listening what your normal exercise routines are. You know, Caroline and I so value exercise, dog walks and other exercise as well. But I would be gentle for the first week or two. Be kind to yourself. No pushing. You don't have to, you know, run a 4-minute mile or something. Just gentle. Getting out in natural light is enough of a reward. You'll get all kinds of good brain changes with that. So just be very kind to yourself in every single way.
That's fantastic. I love that. And the idea of, I'm definitely more of an owl than a lark. So the idea of early mornings are not my favorite. And so having that sort of those treats to reward yourself with that earlier morning is for sure something that I'm going to implement. So thank you for that.
I think the one joy that we can also take is the fact that our evening walks can start to be a little bit more enjoyable again with our dogs. You know, if you don't really like going out in the darker evenings, because you want to be able to see others and say hello, and rather than feel like you're lurking in shadows the whole walk, then enjoy them, start to explore, take new adventures with your dogs. This is the time of year where we can feel a bit more motivated to go on little different kind of outings with our dogs. And so make the most of it, make the most of your enthusiasm right now, because that can sometimes drain as the months go on. But the enthusiasm we can feel right now as we start to feel that hope for spring and summer arriving can be so valuable in terms of motivating us to have fun with our dogs. And isn't fun with our dogs just one of the best joys of life?
And that's really nice, because the evening is not the time, I was just talking about the type of exercise you take, is definitely not the time for very strenuous exercise, because it tends to wake us up rather than gently prepare us for sleep. So a stroll with your dog, you know, or throw, I don't know what you allow, whether you throw things or what, but I mean something that makes them feel the center of your attention. Maybe treats for doing some good tricks. I don't know. Can you suggest some things that would be relaxing but also move aerobic?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I'm less about throwing toys for our dogs to run after, and more that we can use them as a way for our dogs to have fun and learn and earn the rewards by maybe hiding their ball for them to go and find in a long grass, or having a little sniffari, as we call it, which is a little sniffy walk where you either scatter little pieces of food for your dogs to find every now and then, or you're going to take them to a place where they will have that sort of sensory overwhelm of you know, the different wildlife and the different leaves and all of that mulch that's underneath, like the forests or woods that you around you. Those sort of walks are great in terms of giving our dogs a real lovely calm workout for their body, because they're going to be really focused on using their nose. And we know that dogs who use sniffing more on walks have lower blood pressure and more calm and relaxed. And actually, a shorter sniffy walk can be better in terms of a calm dog when you return home than a high-powered ball chasing or playing with other dogs walk. So definitely embrace their noses over the next few weeks as you go out on your walks.
I'd just like to say here to everyone listening that Caroline changed my life when she taught me that, because a short walk in the evening is really what I am up for. And the fact that I now know that my dog, especially my spaniel, prefers that, you know, in the sense it gets all this chance to sniff as much as they want to, has transformed my attitude toward evening walks. And the other thing you taught me, which you've just alluded to, can I celebrate, please, which is, you called it, I think, a sniff safari, but I call it a treasure hunt. I get my dogs, they have to sit down and they have to stay where they are, but they watch me. And then I hide the treats. And the reason they watch me is because one of my dogs, I'm afraid, is not too bright, and the other one will get all the treats if I'm not careful. So they both get a chance to have the secret shown to them, and then I let them go. And oh, you know, that you're right, that's as good as a walk, and we both get exercise because I'm hiding the stuff. And yeah, good point.
Yeah, fantastic. It's embracing the joyful times. I think that spring always brings that sort of lovely feeling of hope. And although this clock change might be something, as Linda says, that can be a stress for us, we can at least see that there's more joy to be had around the corner.
And for you humans, once you've gone to bed in that nice early time, you won't be as, I mean, well, 15 minutes, please, every couple of days. You won't be as sleepy as you normally are. So may I recommend either an audio book or a real book, you know, a book that you hold. Kindles are okay, but they are a blue light, so I'm not so keen on screens in bed. But if you follow a storyline, it goes right back to childhood and to feeling safe, especially if you're read to. It's a great way to speed up the relaxation. So I do recommend either an audiobook or a book you hold, you know, which gives you all that tactile reassurance. It's just lovely to hold a nice book at bedtime until you're sleepy. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly the same time you normally go to sleep, just until you're sleepy, and then turn off the light and off you go.
Fantastic. And if it's a doggy themed book, do share with us over on Instagram. We love hearing from you. So please do come over and tell us what it is that you're reading at the moment. Always looking for new recommendations, aren't we, for reading?
That's a really good idea. I like that. Yes, please. I love to hear about new books. Yeah.
So was there anything else you wanted to share, Linda, or are you ready for the just one thing of today?
Just about. I just wanted to say that if all these lovely things, the earlier meal, the light meal, the staying off your screens, the gentle aerobic exercise, if none of it works, even reading the book, and you're wide awake, and then you could begin to get anxious, then I just recommend that you do a particular kind of breathing, which I'm sure I've talked about before, which is where it's called the sleep breathing, I think, by the guy Andrew Weil, who devised it, because he devised it for people who wake in the night and can't get back to sleep. So it's to breathe in through your nose to the slow count of four, hold it to the slow count of seven, and then just let the air fall out to the slow count of eight. Just make sure that the count is the same for all of the four, seven, eight. And just do that until you're bored and you fall asleep, or until you just relax so much that you fall asleep. So that's your fail safe if everything goes wrong. I just wanted to add that. But otherwise, no, I think I've shot my wad, as we say at home.
And one thing that Linda shared with me recently was actually a tip for my partner, but I've been using it, which is when you're doing your breathing, if you need something else to distract you, you can either breathe in a colour, or you can start to go through the alphabet for topics and think of an object or an item or whatever per letter of the alphabet. So one thing she recommended to me was perhaps going through dog breeds, for example. So you can start to go, okay, Afghan hound, a beagle, a corgi, and you can go through that. And I thought that might be quite stressful to, you know, what if I couldn't think of something for a letter? But actually, it has really helped when I've woken up in the night to go through, and I've done all things household items, clothing items, like countries of the world. I've gone through all kinds of topics, and it has been really game changing. So I wanted to say thank you to you, Linda, because I don't think I've mentioned that to you. That's been helpful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, and I think the more the topic is close to your heart, like the dog one, the less it will stress you. Yes. You know, the more it'll be, you'll be excited. And the next day, maybe you'll want to read about Afghan hounds. You didn't really know something about them or whatever. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I think I'm going to be probably stealing Linda's just one thing, but my just one thing is to make those changes for your dogs small, so that they can adjust to these new times in the most gentle way that they possibly can.
In a way you have, but in a way you haven't. Yes, gradual steps, small steps, planning ahead. But I would add to that to be kind to yourself. Do it in a way that feels like a treat instead of an ordeal. So you're going to make it wonderful to wake up in those earlier mornings.
Fantastic. Well, we hope you get some great sleep over the next couple of weeks, and look forward to hearing from you soon and joining you here again for another podcast soon as well.
And if you can add any tips for us, please do, because we always are learning, and we learn a hell of a lot from you guys. You're the ones who teach us an awful lot of what we know. So please, if you have a tip for getting yourself off to sleep easily, or coping with the time change, please let us know.